Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the theme of unity in the church and how we can be a church that pulls together. Throughout the Bible, not only was unity a key message of Jesus' teaching, but just about every letter that is written to the early church emphasizes this matter of unity and how it's essential for the church to remain united as they live out their faith for Jesus together. If we are to grow in our faith, we need to be a church that comes and pulls together as we follow Jesus. And over the last few months, we've been using this image of a rowing boat, that we have to be a church that pulls in sync with one another if we're to make progress in following God and seeing his kingdom come through us, his people. And we have to, unless we work together in harmony as a church, unless we support one another, we are not going to be effective in following Jesus together. But pulling together enables us to see God's kingdom move through us and Jesus come and work amongst us collectively as his church. So today we're going to think a little bit about how our identity matters as we gather around in unity together and be a church that pulls together. Look around the room, we're all different. We all have different identities. So how do you find unity in the midst of such diversity? If you take a moment to think about your friends or your family or the people that you always be there for in life, there will probably be something that you have in common with each and every one of them. So for me, as I think about my friends, I'm friends with people who I went to the same school as, or I'm friends with people who I've worked with, or people who I've studied with. I'm friends with people who have the same hobbies as me, and people who shared the same life experiences as me. We need to recognize that as people pull together, we will always have something in common with one another. That's what keeps us together in the midst of our diversity. We don't have to have everything in common with one another, but to keep us pulling it together and in sync with one another, we have to have some kind of shared identity that keeps us together. And the same is true of the church. Today we're going to be looking and reading in a moment's time Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. And the key theme that Paul is trying to get across in this letter is that theme and that message of identity. Following Jesus means embracing a new identity. As we embrace this new identity, we then find a common sense of unity with those in the church who share that same identity as one another. And as a result, unity and pulling together is achieved within the church community. As I look around our church this morning, there are loads of people here from different places, different backgrounds, different cultures, different ways of seeing the world. But this is one of the wonderful things about the church. Nowhere else do you see such a diverse, eclectic group of people who all come together with one same identity, that we are all one in Christ together. In our passage this morning, Paul picks up this theme of pulling together, embracing this new identity that we have in him. But before we go any further, I'm going to pray, we're going to read God's word, and then we're going to have a little bit of a think about what it means for us as his church, as Jesus' church this morning. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come together, each from our own different place, each with our own different lives, our own different identities, and we can all come and know that we are one in you. And Lord, as we gather around your word now, Lord, we pray that your spirit would be speaking to us, your people. Would you come and stir our hearts, stir our minds, stir our faith, that we might follow you, worship you, and live our lives for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 16. And if you've not got your Bibles, the words will be on the screen so you can follow along as we read together. So Paul says this, "As a prisoner of the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." There's an awful lot that we can say on this passage, and we're going to work through it today, but there'll be bits that we can come back to at another time, I'm sure. But I want to start this morning, if you'll let me, by being a little bit provocative. You're all listening now, and I've got a question for you. What do you identify as? We live in a world that recognizes that our identity matters. And just me asking that question, what do you identify as, for some of us will send all sorts of alarm bells going off. Now, I don't want to get dragged into the culture wars that we're all too familiar with, but identity matters to people. Particularly the younger generation are being incredibly explicit about and clear about what they identify as. This might include issues that we often are all too familiar with in our newspapers and news screens, but even within our church here today, there are people who identify as a whole range of different things. There are people within our church family who identify as loyal Cambridge United fans. Pray for them. But they do it. There are people here who identify as people who are not very good at numbers and understanding finances. Equally, pray for them. There are people here who, as we build up to a general election, have a whole range of different views and ideas about political parties and who we might vote for in a couple of weeks' time. And pray for us all, because we are all going to play a part in that process. There are lots of different things that we can all identify as. Our identity is important. And we live in a world where people want to choose to and define what their identity is. Paul starts this passage by encouraging the church to live a life that is worthy of the calling that you have received. Throughout the last three chapters, Paul has been encouraging the church in Ephesus to embrace a new identity that they have found in Jesus. That whether they were from a Jewish background or a Gentile background, that alone no longer defined them for who they were. Instead, in chapter 1, we're told that we are chosen by God to be his people. In chapter 2, Paul reminds us of the gospel message that regardless of all that has happened in our lives, in the good stuff and in the bad stuff, we have all encountered the grace of Jesus. For it is by grace that we have been saved. And then in chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, he says this, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which prepared God in advance for us to do. What a great thing to identify as. I am God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In Jesus, we find a new identity. And that identity is not one that we have earned. It is given to us all by the grace of Jesus. But we have to choose it. We have to accept it and let that identity shape the way we live our lives. So this is the context in which Paul says, live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. You could change it slightly to say, live a life worthy of the new identity that you have received. As Paul says to the church in Corinth, accepting this new identity of who we are in Jesus means that we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We have a new identity. As we choose to follow Jesus, we choose a new identity. We are changed, no longer defined by ourselves, but defined by our faith in Jesus. If you've decided to follow Jesus today, can we be a church that hears these words of Paul again? May we be a church that lives a life worthy of the calling, worthy of that new identity that we have received in Jesus. We have a new identity, so let's let it shape how we live our lives. Before I encountered Jesus, you might be a bit surprised to know that I was actually pretty timid, pretty shy. Some of us, see, people are already laughing. I was quite quiet, and I didn't have an awful lot of self-confidence, which is really helpful when you start sharing this and people in the congregation start laughing at you. But then, do you know what? There's good news. Since that, since I started following Jesus, that old identity has faded, and I've chosen a new identity instead. I no longer need to be timid because I know that Jesus has got my back. I no longer need to be shy because I know that I am made in the image of God. I know that I can have confidence because I know that I am loved by God. I no longer have to do things in my own strength, but I know that he who started a good work in me will see it through to completion. And so I'm standing in a new identity of who God has created me to be today. And so I wonder for us today, as we follow Jesus in his church here at Arby Road, how has your identity changed since you started following Jesus? Have you chosen to let Jesus define your identity rather than you define your identity? Have you chosen to let Jesus define your identity rather than the world and the circumstances around you define your identity? Have you laid down who you once were to embrace who you now are in Jesus, that you might now live a life worthy of the calling that you have received? In Jesus, we embrace a new identity, and this new identity transforms our character. And Paul then carries on in his letter to list a number of character traits that he wants to see within the church. He starts with humility. As we choose a new identity, we should not be full of pride in who we are, but rather full of humility in who we are. Not thinking too highly of ourselves, but recognizing the grace of Jesus and that others are just as precious and as valuable as we are. We're in a world which says take pride in who we are. Maybe we can change our thinking to think that to think as Jesus thinks, that says, well, actually, I know who I am, but I'm going to be humble in how I hold who I am. That leads us on to the second thing that Paul tells us to be in our new character as we embrace this identity that we have in Jesus, and that is that we should be gentle, sensitive, just not just of what we are feeling, not just of who we are, but mindful and gentle and sensitive to the feelings and beings of others as well. Our identity should also be characterized by being patient, by bearing with one another, recognizing that when people drive us completely crazy, and we all know what that feels like, and I'm sure most of you feel about it like it with me at some point or another as well, that's okay, but we stick together, we remain patient with one another, even when there are difficulties and strains amongst us. And all of this is possible because of love. We love one another as Christ loved us. We don't bear with one another just for the sake of it, but we bear with one another when they're driving us crazy because we love one another. We live a life that is characterized by the love we have for one another. For as Jesus said, his new commandment to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. So you must know, love one another. By this love, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's one thing to choose a new identity, but that identity needs to be shown in how we live. A new character developing from the new identity that we find. We've talked about being a church that pulls together, but to do so, we can't just know our identity. We have to let that identity work itself out into how we live. You cannot pull together without first living humbly, without practicing patience, without bearing with one another. The opposite of all that, pride, being rough and harsh with one another, being impatient with one another. It doesn't sound like a particularly harmonious group of people to belong to, does it? But this is the kind of community that Jesus wants us to be in, that Paul is encouraging the church to be, a radical, gracious, loving community that is the church. We live in a world that is obsessed with our identity. In this increasingly divided and polarized world, we need more people who not only know their identity, but who can represent and demonstrate this kind of character that Paul encourages us to embrace here in this passage, and that includes in the church. For us here at Arbury Road, we're preparing to enter into a time of transition. And times of transition are times when it's very easy for these divisions to arise. And as divisions arise, we stop pulling together and we start flapping about and the boat starts spinning around in the middle of the river and we don't keep moving forward together. We don't pull together in humility and gentleness and bearing with one another. Instead, we divide, we annoy one another when we need each other the most. Living a life worthy of the calling that you have received does not involve being right all the time. It doesn't involve getting what you think should happen all the time. It's simply based on loving one another. So may we be a church who, over these next few weeks and months, continue to be sure of identity, yes. But may we also let that identity work out into our character. May we love one another now more than we have ever loved one another and show our identity in action. For as Paul says in verse 3, may we be a church that makes every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. as we worship and follow Jesus together in this season of our church's life. In order to embrace the new identity that we have in Jesus, we first need to know what that identity is based on. And Paul tells us in verses 4-6 that this new identity is firmly based in the character and nature of our God. Paul wants the church to pull together because God himself is one who demonstrates what unity looks like. His identity is rooted in unity. So as we find our identity in him, so too will unity grow and develop within us, his people. In verses 4-6, we see and hear about the whole Trinity being at work. We hear about the Father, the Spirit, and the Son all in unity with one another and uniting the church. We're told that there is one Spirit and one body. As we celebrated on Pentecost Sunday a couple of weeks ago, the church is united together in the gift of the Holy Spirit. There isn't one kind of Holy Spirit for some people, those happy, clappy charismatics over there, and another kind of Spirit for people over there who are maybe less happy, clappy over there. We are all one body, equipped and empowered to live our lives for Jesus by the presence of one Spirit in our lives. There is unity as we experience the life of the Spirit within the church. As well as one Spirit, there is also one hope found through one Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul shared with the Galatians, and as he shared previously in this letter, he may be talking about different issues like circumcision and about identity, but ultimately the hope that we all have as followers of Jesus is not founded on anything other than the fact of who Jesus is. Circumcision might have been important in the church, but it wasn't the thing that defined them. It wasn't what their hope was based on. Instead, it was based on the love and grace of Jesus, who died and rose again, that we might all have one hope through one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is one God, one Father, uniting us all as one church and one big global family. We might all be from different places, different spaces, different ideas, but there is a lot more that unites us than divides us. We, each and every one of us here today, are made in the image of God. He loves each one of us. He calls each one of us his children. So we are one. There is one God, one Father, and one family, one church, all coming together in unity. Our identity is grounded in God. And God is the God of unity, and we are all united in him. It doesn't matter where you worship. It doesn't matter how you see the world. It doesn't matter whether you're a traditionalist or one of these people who likes to see things differently. Ultimately, if we are a church who know God, or as individuals who know God as Father, if you know that your hope is firmly rooted and grounded in Jesus as Lord, if you know that by the presence of his Spirit, he is now with us here in this place, then we can live in union and in unity together, pulling together because we share the same testimony of the same God at work within us. That is what our identity is based on. It's one thing to know your identity, but embracing our new identity comes with some benefits that we can enjoy as we pull together as one church as well. And the first benefit that of our new identity is that God gives roles and gifts to the church, and that we might serve one another. Now, we don't have time to look at these in detail this morning, but let me just make a couple of quick observations. And the first of these is that there are different roles and different gifts that God gives to people, but not everyone has them all. And that's okay. In fact, it's good. We are called to be united, but that doesn't mean that we are called to uniformity. It's all right that we are different to one another. Unity in the Bible starts with diversity. There are plenty of things that I am completely rubbish at. You are very, very blessed that I am not leading the band this morning. If I did, no one would ever come to church again. And I mean ever. It's a blessing. Keep me as far away from the microphone. Praise God for John up there who will mute my microphone that I can sing my heart out, but no one else has to hear it. But I am glad that there are other people who have that gift and have that role who are incredibly gifted at being able to lead us in song worship in a way that is much better than I would ever be able to do so. And there will be equally areas of my life where I've got gifts and roles to fulfill that other people might not be as good or as strong at, and that's okay, because together we are better. And our gifts are given that we might serve one another. The gifts I have and the gifts that Ruth have aren't just for us to enjoy for ourselves. The gifts are given that we might be able to serve one another. In verse 12, Paul tells us that the roles and gifts are given to equip his people for works of service so that the body of the church might be built up. And this leads us on to the second observation that I want to make this morning, and that is that the role and gifts that are given are intended to be a blessing and given to that they might be a blessing to other people. Gifts are given that we might pull together, that we might bless one another. They're given that we might equip God's people, that the church might grow and advance. And that leads us on to the final benefit of this new identity that we have in Jesus. And that's not only that we can pull together, but that unity enables us to grow together and mature together. In verses 14 to 16, Paul tells us how we will find maturity as we unite together. No longer will we be infants, but we will grow and mature, we'll become wise and discerning, we will not be led astray. Instead, we will see Jesus as the head and the Lord of all things. Our identity will be in him alone. And as we gather around him, I love the description of verse 16, that it is from Jesus that the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. So let me ask you again, what do you identify as? We live in a world where so many people are in an identity crisis, longing to define themselves and choose a deep and meaningful identity that they can live by. And the good news for us as a church is that because of Jesus, we have a message that we all have experienced a new identity. And this identity can transform our lives. It can transform our world. And our identity is found and rooted in the character and nature of God alone. But if we are to embrace this identity, it needs to transform how we live out our lives. It needs to transform our relationships, and that transformation starts right here in the church that is Christ's church. Only then can we be a church that truly steps out and fulfills our full potential as followers of Jesus. Only then can we be a church that pulls together, that unites, that grows, matures, as we gather together in one common identity, rooted in God alone. Let's pray. Father God, it's good to be together this morning, to be here as a community of your believers here in this place. And Lord, our prayer is that we would be a body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, growing and building at one another up in love, as we each part does its work with you as our Lord and our head. Lord, we thank you for the firm foundation that we find in you. that we have that new identity, that no longer are we defined by the world around us, no longer do we have to define ourselves, but we can find a new identity in you. We praise you for that one hope that we have in Jesus as Lord. That as we've sung this morning, that our sin and shame has been taken away, and through Jesus we have hope of being reconciled with you, our Lord and God. We praise you for the gift of one Spirit that unites all of us as one church. And we continue to pray, come Holy Spirit, shape our lives, shape our church, and move amongst us, we pray. We praise you that you are the one true God, the Lord and Father of each and every one of us, and that you love us all so dearly. Lord God, would you come and bear your identity within our hearts, within our minds? May you come and unite your church. May we find our identity in you above any other. And may we serve one another, blessing one another with all the gifts that you have given us, that we might continue to know the identity that we have found in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.